This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The latest on the Biden drama, some terrible economic news. Don Jr.'s here, Senator Ron Johnson's here, Buck Sexton's here, all that and more coming up tonight on I'm Right. All right, let's just do a quick update on the Biden drama, because there's a part of this, there's an aspect to all this Biden stuff that fascinates me. Look, we're not going to spend a long time on this. We have Don Jr. tonight, Senator Ron Johnson, Buck Sexton. We got a lot to get to. Economic stuff. Just this little thing is in the back of my mind. You've heard of the saying, maybe you've said the saying, if you come at the king, you best not miss. Some version of that saying. It's been said a lot more eloquently than I just said it. But what's the idea behind that? What's the message behind that? If you come for the king, you better not miss. Well, the idea is, if you try to take out a powerful man and you miss, well, now you've angered a very powerful man. You might be in trouble. Joe Biden is currently digging in his heels. Jill Biden, Hunter Biden, Biden's inner circle, Corinne Diversity Hire. They're digging in their heels. We're not leaving. We're not leaving. We're never leaving. I'm the nominee. Okay. They're doing that thing. Okay. I get that. And some Democrats, AOC, Congressional Black Caucus, others are out there saying, yeah, get behind Joe. Joe's the nominee. Woohoo. But there are many, 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 many communists out there in various walks of life who are saying, no, this is a mistake. And they're not just saying things quietly, privately. You know, you can insult a man, even the king, privately sometimes. You can pull Joe Biden aside and say, hey, Joe, I don't think this is going to work out. I don't think you're going to beat Donald Trump. Maybe you should sit this one out. That's one thing. Maybe he takes that well, maybe he doesn't, but that's one thing. They're coming for him publicly. George Clooney came out today. Big, huge commie nerd publicly said, Joe, no more. Congressman Michael Quigley, the congressmen, senators, they're out there saying things like this.
He just has to step down because he can't win. And my colleagues need to recognize that.
Now, I don't think you care about Michael Quigley. But he was just a placeholder for so many of them. Powerful Democrats, powerful media people, Hollywood actors, huge, important people, parts of the system calling for Joe Biden to step down. And what's been on my mind is, what if he doesn't? What if, after all this, the dementia, the disaster, the poll numbers, the everything, what if Joe Biden really does stick it out and doesn't step down? How awkward are things going to be in the Democrat Party if you've publicly called for the President of the United States of America to step down, he doesn't, and then you have a meeting with him next week. Might get a little spicy, no? All right, so let's set that aside, because there are bigger things than the election this November, much bigger things. Our way of life is much more important than who holds the White House. It just is. We are watching the disappearance of our way of life, and it's being done to us by Washington, D.C. Understand this and drive this point home to the norms and normas in your life. You can't afford eggs because of Washington, D.C. Crime is up because of Washington, D.C. These things that are happening are because Washington, D.C. is spending. We are spending here in the United States of America as if we are fighting a world war, as if we are in an emergency situation and we have to bury ourselves in debt right now because we must win the war, and it's all that matters, only it's peacetime. We jacked government spending through the roof during all that COVID filth and never brought it back down again. And now you have even corrupt losers like Jerome Powell talking about our debt like this.
Back in February, you were on 60 Minutes, and you said the U.S. budget deficit, the national debt, are unsustainable. Do you still view that the U.S. is on an unsustainable fiscal path?
I do. I think I tried to be clear that the level of the U.S. debt is not itself unsustainable, but the path that we're on is unsustainable, and I think that is not controversial.
So why haven't they stopped? You know, forget that. Why haven't they stopped? Why are they spending more than ever? What they're doing is causing all this pain. You see, it's everywhere around you. I know you feel it. Maybe you already have a second job. Maybe you're just feeling the squeeze of inflation. We have terrible business news, 34% increase in commercial business bankruptcies, small businesses. That increase has been 61%. Home prices, record highs. People can't afford homes. People can't afford the home they're currently in. They certainly can't afford to buy a new one. People are taking second jobs. Parents are moving back in with children. Children moving back in with parents. And still, Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C. just keep spending without end, as if the party will never stop. But the party is going to stop, and it's going to be brutal on a level you can't imagine. And we're just seeing glimpses of what that looks like now. Because what does that mean? It's going to be brutal. Here's what brutal means. Your entire way of life and that of your children and their children after them is nothing like the one your parents had. That's what it means. And let's do remember that this is all part of the plan. This has been going on for decades. For decades, the evil men who lead the West, it's not just America, but we're definitely part of it. For decades, the evil men who lead the West have viewed the most patriotic citizens within their nations as a problem. These American patriots, they want freedom, low taxes, they want to keep their guns, and they want to work wherever they want and drive wherever they want. The Republicans and Democrats, the evil men on the right and the left who lead the West, have hated that forever. And so, for decades, they have imported people who are much, much, much more compliant and can be bought much more cheaply than you. You have demands. You want the border secured. You want to hang on to your guns. You think good jobs should be available to all Americans. But the evil men who lead the West, hey, this uppity American, he's got all these demands. We could just replace him, bring in five people from Guatemala, pay them off with a $500 Visa card and a dishwashing job at Applebee's, and we'll be on a gravy train with biscuit wheels once we get those people voting. Joe Biden's up there bragging about jobs. Keep in mind, all the net job gains in the United States of America have gone to illegals. American citizens, a net loss. Remember that when he says this stuff.
We've created more than 12,000 brand new jobs in 2 years That's more than any president in American history has created in 4 years.
That means overall, we've created more jobs in 2 years than any administration has created in the first 4 years. And I think all this matters. It's no accident.
Our economy has created 10 million jobs, 668 manufacturing jobs.
They were wrong. We recovered all the manufacturing jobs we lost during the pandemic.
If you look at my presidency so far, it's a jobs presidency.
It sure is. Look, hey, don't be mad at him. He's right. Joe Biden got elected with the intention of providing jobs, and he has provided those jobs. Now, maybe we should have read the fine print, or I should say the losers who voted for Biden should have read the fine print. The jobs weren't, they were never for Americans. Joe Biden's not concerned about America or Americans. Joe Biden's concerned about power. You're annoying with your freedom loving and your rights. Pepe, he's cheap. He's easy. You need to bring him in here. Bring him and his 27 kids in here, replace you and get him voting, and then he never has to worry about you and your rights again. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. And we'll talk to Senator Ron Johnson about that and other things in just a moment. Let me talk to you about the kind of coffee you drink. Look, I could sit here and tell you about how wonderful blackout coffee tastes. I do the whole bean at my house so I can ground it up. Here at the office, I do K-cups, but they have all kinds, medium roast, light roast. It depends on what you're into. It's the flavored stuff, if that's your thing. But more important to me is the values of blackout coffee. Every single day now, I strive to be better about where I spend and don't spend my money. Coffee companies suck. Next to the financial industry and the legal industry, it might be the most putrid, dirty commie industry out there. So when you find a company like Blackout Coffee that talks openly about God, guns, and life in America, that's the kind of place we need to patronize. 20% off your first order. Go stock up on some. Blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse. All right? We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, yesterday, a Senator James Inhofe died. A wonderful man. Met him a few times myself. I certainly don't want to act like I knew him by any stretch of the imagination, but a really, really decent human being and one of the few really decent senators we've had over the past few decades in this country. And of course, the dirty commies who run the media in this country all labeled him a climate change denier in their headlines as they talked about his death. Just a reminder about the kind of people we're up against. Joining me now, another decent senator, Senator Ron Johnson from the state of Wisconsin. Senator, look, you don't have to talk about the evil commies who were cheering, obviously, the passing of Senator Inhofe, but he was a good man, wasn't he?
He was, and it is grotesque. You wouldn't think when you're announcing somebody's death that you would do something in your mind is, you know, denigrates any individual. That doesn't harm Senator Inhofe in my estimation at all. First of all, I'm sure he was like me. He doesn't deny climate change, or he didn't. You know, climate's always changed. He's just not a climate alarmist. And I thought he did excellent work as chairman of a Senate committees and, you know, that oversaw these things, just publishing the facts, you know, trying to lay out for the American public and quite honestly, the people worldwide that, you know, all this climate change alarmism is going to be incredibly harmful in terms of the trillions of dollars spent to try and hold back the tides, which we cannot do. So again, he was a wonderful human being, a person of faith, and he'll be missed.
He will be missed. One of the things I like that people are starting to get about this whole climate change thing, which is just a bunch of hooky garbage anyway, is that it's a big handout to all these Democrats and their Democrat business friends. Every time they pass another $1 trillion bill, it of course doesn't do anything to solve the freaking heat in the summertime, but it does enrich a whole bunch of Democrat donors, and it happens every single time. It's a big blood suck out of the wallets of the taxpayer and a handout to all their political friends. It's obvious to anyone who pays attention.
Now, I'm the Senate Budget Committee, and Sheldon Whitehouse is the chairman. He's a big climate change alarmist. So rather than holding hearings on the budget, he primarily holds hearings on climate change and fill in the blank. But in those hearings, it's been interesting. We've gotten from witnesses that, for example, we've spent globally about $5 to $6 trillion combating climate change to date. Now, have we even made a dent in it? Are the alarmists satisfied whatsoever? Of course not. It costs tens of trillions of dollars more to achieve their completely unrealizable goals. So this is folly. It is insane what we are doing. Again, it's self-inflicted wounds on the economy. And if you're concerned about people globally, well, the number one thing people need to be lifted out of poverty is they need cheap energy. We need cheap energy to stay competitive in the global economy. America needs cheap and abundant energy. We have abundant natural resources. We should use those as opposed to, you know, walling off things like oil and coal and, you know, the types of things you need to power your economy.
I bet you President Biden could give quite the detailed breakdown on energy consumption in this country, what we use, what we need. After all, he looked so sharp on that debate stage. Please tell me you're enjoying the drama on Capitol Hill as these people have the knives out for President Joe.
Well, first of all, nobody enjoys watching an elderly person decline. And that's what we've watched for the last couple of years. It should have come as no surprise to anybody. I'm sure it didn't come as a surprise to members of Congress who've actually, you know, had meetings with Joe Biden in the White House. I haven't. I'm not President Biden's most favorite senator. But again, this is a problem of their own making. And it is interesting. They would kick him under the bus so fast if they were able to. But the problem is, he wants to cling to power. I've been saying he's clinging to power like Gollum to the golden ring, he and his family. And if he wants to stay in that position, they're going to have a really hard time prying power out of his hands.
Let's talk about this new report that came out from Heritage saying, thanks to COVID, thanks to China, we took an $18 trillion with a T dollar hit. I'm not naive enough to believe there's going to be any reckoning for anyone, American, Chinese, or otherwise, for COVID. But why is this one of those things that really people don't talk about much? This came from China, and it came from there intentionally in one way or another. They stopped domestic travel and allowed travel still to the United States of America. That alone tells you they wanted to send it here.
Well, part of the problem is we had government officials, people like Anthony Fauci, funding this research, and they're potentially complicit in the development of the coronavirus that has cost global economies, you know, whatever the figure, $15, $16, $17 trillion. You know, one study showed that there was about a $4 trillion transfer of wealth from the little people, you know, from working class Americans to the big corporations, to the social media giants, you know, the big box stores. So you got big business benefited tremendously, but it was the little guy. It was small businesses, you know, pass-through entities, Main Street businesses that got shut down by government edict, completely put out of business. Remember, liquor stores could stay open, but they shut down churches. So the impact of the lockdowns and these insane, the miserably failed response to COVID had a disparate impact on small people, working class people. But the big guys survived and they thrived during COVID because all that business, you know, went into their back pocket.
Well, it sure did. Senator, I can't let you go without asking about the drop boxes that are apparently going to be set up in Wisconsin again for the next election, just like they were in the last elections, because we couldn't seem to get Dan Kelly in the Supreme Court in that state. The floor is yours.
Well, first of all, the Supreme Court ruling is just wrong on the law. You know, they just reversed whatever happened to stare decisis in terms of Supreme Court ruling. So conservative court said these aren't allowed by law. A bunch of judicial activists come in and say they are. So we're going to have to deal with it. Quite honestly, with that reality, hopefully rural conservative counties utilize these drop boxes. You got to play by the rules that are in force. I'm far more concerned about Democrats, by administration, using government agencies to register Democrats, illegal voters, illegal immigrants. There are a lot bigger problems than just the drop boxes. You can abuse a postal box as well. So I'm far more concerned about other things than that. We might as well use the drop boxes to our advantage in conservative counties where the clerks can't stay open 24 hours a day like we can in the big counties like Milwaukee and Madison. So if we're smart, we'll use this ruling to our advantage.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the illegals as well. Senator, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'll see you in Milwaukee next week. All right. Don Jr. is coming to Milwaukee next week. Talk to him about that. Who's going to be the VP and other things. Let's first talk about a good night's sleep. You spend one-third of your life in bed. Isn't that nuts? One-third of your life is spent in bed. Do you spend it tossing and turning, or maybe you take things to sleep? Let me ask you, how do you feel when you wake up? Oh yeah, I know, you finally slept 8-9 hours. How do you feel? You wanna die, don't you? Feel heavy, miserable, tired. Whenever I take Dream Powder, I feel amazing because Dream Powder is natural. Melatonin, things like that, it's just a cup of hot chocolate. Go pick some up, have a great night's sleep while also feeling great the next day. That's the beauty of Dream Powder. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly gets you 40% off. Sleep like a baby and wake up like a champ. All right? We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This isn't about the presidency. We need to win everything. We need to win school boards. We need to win state legislatures. We need to win dog catcher. And we have to hold those who lied to us for the past 5 years accountable for their lies.
That is an outstanding message. I love that Don Jr. is spreading it like wildfire. Joining me now, host of Triggered, Don Jr. himself. Don, I love that. I love that we're getting smarter and better about that, and that someone with your platform is talking about this more. It's fine to have a MAGA hat on. That's great. Good for you. But if you're sitting out all the local elections, then Donald Trump takes the White House. No help, no backup, can't get anything done. Again, I love that we're spreading this message out there.
No, hey, man, if you're me and you go through the stuff that I've gone through, whether it's, you know, me personally during the Russia stuff, where apparently I was guilty of treason, a crime punishable by death, or, you know, a $500 million fine to our company for paying back loans on time with interest. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Or 34, 37, whatever, felony convictions for my father. We're living in kangaroo court times. This is going to be a controversial take. Like, I don't know that I want to win the presidency if you don't have these other things, because I get the pleasure of being probably on the front lines of that nonsense for another 4 years. So we do have to get involved. But the part about accountability is really important, too. You know, you have people in media, in tech, in government on the Democrat side. They lied to us everything. Not even the past 4 or 5 years. Frankly, I got that wrong. It's really the last 8 years. It started off with Russia collusion, because I guess Trump was colluding with Russia because he needed the money. I don't know, but it didn't matter. They ran with this like gospel. There's numerous senators that are up for election. John Tester in Montana. You got Sherrod Brown in Ohio running for Senate. They vote with Joe Biden 100% of the time. They're totally complicit in covering up the incompetency there. And they want the American people to reelect them to one of the highest governing legislative boards in the country. You know, is there ever going to be account? They lied to the American people. They told us he was competent. They told us he was smart. The adults were going to be back in charge. The media, Joe Scarborough gets on TV and he says, this is the finest Joe Biden we've ever seen in like 7,000 years of Joe Biden in government. This is the smartest and finest. I'm like, the guy is a vegetable. You as an upstanding American citizen, Jesse, as a patriot, as a veteran, they don't want to have an AR-15, but they'll give the nuclear football to a vegetable? This is not good messaging. This doesn't make any sense. And again, there has to be a price to be paid for it, or they're going to keep doing it to the American public.
They will. You know what? I don't even know if I should ask this question, because I should know, but I've never been able to figure it out. I grew up in Montana. My folks moved us there when we were 10 years old. That's where I graduated high school. That's where I joined the Marines from. We've had Max Baucus, now John Tester. And I realize you have these commie hippie places like Bozeman, where I grew up. But Montana is red. Why do these losers like Tester stay in places? We need that Senate seat, Don. We need it. I know you know we need it. What's with Montana? Explain this to me.
Oh, Montana's interesting. I was actually with a buddy of mine, and the only reason I say this is because he said I could. I said it publicly out there. Josh Smith, he runs Montana Knife Company, great patriot, great American, a great American business. And he's like, you know, John Tester's like my godfather. I was like, what? I was like, how is that possible? He goes, you know what? And there was a time where John Tester was actually like sort of believed some of these things. You know, sure, he was a libtard and he votes with Biden 100% of the time, but he got to Washington, D.C. He's the number one recipient of special interest dollars in Washington. So the, you know, the, I mean, he's sort of like a fake farmer, but he does the farmer thing, ho-hum. He shows up in blaze orange every once in a while, even though many years he's never even held a hunting license. You know, he plays that game like he's one of them. They sell it to him, but then he goes to D.C., and like so many others, Jesse, he gets corrupted by the swamp. So you go from being a guy that, like I said, a good friend of mine, super conservative guy, he's like, hey, man, there was a time that he was like that. Now I want to get my stepfather, whatever it is, you know, godfather out of office because he became everything he probably despised. He's been in there forever. He's taking all the special interest money. He votes with Joe Biden nearly 100% of the time, but then he'll run ads like, I'm for you, Montana. It's like, well, that's not Montana. You can't be for Montanans and their values and their lifestyle and everything they stand for while simultaneously voting 100% of the time with Joe Biden. That doesn't work.
Don, let's talk about your father's VP pick. I know you've said you don't know who he's picking. That's fine. But one of the things, speaking of draining the swamp, that I don't like is the potential pick of J.D. Vance, because I love J.D. Vance. And we have so many losers in the Senate. I would love your dad to have someone like J.D. Vance at his side. But gosh, we really need some decent senators. We finally have one. I kind of want him to stay there. What say you?
Listen, I wasn't sure where you were going with that one at first because I'm like, wait a minute, JD's like the perfect guy, but no, he is. Listen, yeah. I don't think I've been even remotely silent about it. That's been my number one pick from pretty much day one for the VP slot because it's not just about the VP slot. You watch JD. JD can go on CNN and smack around the opposition like they're little children, which they are. But most of our guys are incapable of doing that. You know. Well, Mr., you know, whatever your name is, don't you agree? The insurrection of January 6th, they just accept the narrative and then try to fight from that position of weakness. He's able to articulate that position. If anyone's not seen or read Hillbilly Elegy, you know, that's the guy we started fighting for. That's why my father got into this movement, that forgotten man and woman. He understands that. He gets it. And so, yeah, listen, to me, I'd say he's by far our best senator. So I hate pulling him from that. I think we have a chance of getting someone else good in that position as the, you know, junior senator from Ohio. And hopefully we'll replace the senior senator of Ohio, Sherrod Brown, who's a, you know, big lib. Again, votes with Joe Biden nearly 100% of the time. And we can get Bernie Moreno in there because we need more of those guys in the Senate. But I also look at a J.D. Vance as a generational character. He's someone that can take the movement, meaning America First, MAGA, however you want to look at it, breaking away from establishment conservatism and actually run with that for 8 years after four more years of Trump. You look at the other contenders. I like them. I'm friendly with them. I think they're, you know, accomplished. I think they're intelligent. I don't know that they have that gravitas or the desire and the will to go against even the establishment swamp from the conservative side for the future. And for me, it's about the future of this movement. This is the new Republican Party, but the swamp doesn't want that to happen. They're going to fight tooth and nail to bring back the old, you know, there's not really a consequence for losing. So we'll maintain some sort of power and we can be a little bit of controlled opposition and we'll make our money and we'll get on boards and we'll put our friends on boards and we'll have power and get invited to the cool person party. We won't do what's right for the American people. We won't fight for real hardworking blue collar Americans, but you know, we have an easy existence in DC being, you know, a feckless weakling. So, you know, I get it. You're not wrong at all. But, you know, that would be my first, second, and third choice for VP because I want to continue the movement and that positions him naturally to do so.
Yeah, that's the choice to make, right? Do you take the superstar out of the Senate and put him right next to you where he probably should be? Or, gosh, are we starved for anybody with guts like JD has in the Senate? All right, speaking of VP, I know you have to be enjoying the Biden saga ever since he pooped his pants on stage when your dad curb stomped him last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was. Dome has been in the news. Vice President Kamala Harris has no personality. She can't talk. She can't think. She just, it's painful watching her try to function publicly. And they might be stuck with her. This is fantastic.
Well, listen, the machinations of sort of campaign fundraising and FEC rules, like it's sort of hard. It's hard to sort of skip the other person on the ticket, right? And then you combine that with just, you know, Democrats relying 100% on identity politics. Remember, Kamala Harris had less than 1% of the Democrat vote in the primary in 2020. It wasn't like she was popular and that you're putting in a popular person. But, you know, she was the first African-American woman of what? Checkbox, checkbox, checkbox. You know, like, we must put her in there. And then you listen to her speak. And Jesse, I swear, I feel like we have a mole in the Biden-Harris administration. And it happens to be whoever is writing Kamala Harris's speeches. Because I'm like, hey, man, if you put me in there, like, if I could, like, you know, morph into, like, her speechwriter and write a speech, like, I could not do a better job exuding incompetence, you know, in written form to give to her to speak. Because it's the word salad is, it's amazing. Democracy is democracy because of democracy. And without democracy, there would be, Jesse, no democracy. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I feel like I'm being punked. And so, it's interesting watching the collapse. I've actually have to applaud my father for his discipline in, you know, just letting it happen. Because, man, I'm sitting there being like, please, like, just can I go attack? Because it's so ridiculous. So we have someone who's either in incompetent. I'd have a hard time imagining, you know, I guess probably like any straight white male voting for Kamala Harris. I have a hard time imagining almost any African-American man or woman vote. I can't imagine anyone actually voting for it. It's almost impossible, other than those people who are just purely, like, I guess, you know, radical leftist identity people, because someone else will be pulling the strings. So it's sort of great to watch. You have a choice between arguably the least likable person in American politics and a vegetable. And it's like, they're not sure. I would probably rather run against her, frankly, but that's just me.
No doubt. Yeah, unless you're Willie Brown, what reason do you have to vote for Kamala? Don, thank you so much, my brother. I'll see you in Milwaukee next week, my man. All right. We have a lot more. Don't think that we're done yet. Before we get to all the juicy stuff, well, more juicy stuff, I want to talk to you about something. Scammers. One of the terrible things about having an economy go to crap, as it is right now, and we're all suffering from it, everyone's feeling it in different ways. One of the terrible things about it is scammers and ripoff artists really, really, really thrive in this environment because people get desperate. And let me talk to you about these timeshare companies. They're the worst, because right now people are trying to cut costs. Maybe you're trying to get out of your timeshare. Maybe you're done with it. Maybe you can't afford it anymore, whatever. They never told you that you were stuck with it for life, did they? No, sorry. Never. You never return it. They never mentioned that in the fancy seminar when they convinced you to buy it, did they? But now they pull it out on you. Stop calling these companies. I can't stand ripoff artists. Call Lone Star Transfer. Lone Star Transfer is the family business that will get you legally and permanently out of that timeshare. They will set you free. They do it almost every time, 99% of the time. They get it done. That's pretty much a guarantee. Just call them. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
As long as the president had the president, it's up to the president to decide if he is going to run. We're all encouraging him to make that decision because time is running short.
He has made the decision. He has said firmly this week he is going to run. Do you want him to run?
I want him to do whatever he decides to do. And that's the way it is. Whatever he decides, we go with. And I've said to everyone, let's just hold off. Whatever you're thinking, either tell somebody privately, but you don't have to put that out on the table until we see how we go this week.
I love that conversation so much. I can't wait to talk to Buck about that conversation. I had a similar conversation with my youngest son. He's a swimmer. And I asked him 2 days ago, woke up that morning and I asked him, I said, you want to go out there, get some laps in, make sure you're getting yourself ready for the season? And he said, man, I'm not sure, kind of tired, slept in a little bit this morning. I said, do you think you should maybe get some laps in, get ready for the season? I know you haven't decided yet, but do you think it would be a good idea? That's what Nancy's saying. Joining me now, my friend, obviously doesn't need any intro, host of the great Clay and Buck show, biggest radio show in the country, Buck Sexton. Buck, buddy, I know you say he's staying and I say he's going and we've had this conversation a million times, but there are some very, very, very powerful people getting really public about all this thing. What say you?
Jesse. You know, there are many people who in the last few days have been emailing me and they were saying, Buck, I'm so sorry I doubted you. I don't know why it would ever even occur to me to think that I shouldn't be on the Buck train, that I shouldn't be picking a plot on Buck Island, as it has become known on the show, where I have been saying without fail, do you know that after the debate, Jesse, I doubled down on radio and said Joe Biden is going to be the nominee. And it's because I understand a few things. One, the machinery and the possibilities. Two, I know the mindset of Joe Biden himself. Joe Biden is a sociopathic narcissist. The moment that he's not running, him and his entire family of losers are nothing. And he knows that. And he doesn't have much time left. The most important thing that Nancy Pelosi said in that, and I do agree with you, although what your analogy about your son and swimming, it's as though you're saying, hey, buddy, do you want to go swimming? And your son is looking in the eyes and going, I'm not going swimming. And then you're like, hey, buddy, but do you want to go swimming? Like, that's what's actually happening here, because they can't make him not run. This is, people keep acting like, oh, he has said I'm running. He has no incentive not to run. So why wouldn't he run?
Well, okay, we'll set that aside because we don't have to argue about that again, because there's an aspect of this that I find very, very fascinating. Watch this from Michael Bennett. Here's Senator Bennett from this morning.
You, Senator John Tester, and Senator Sherrod Brown all said during that lunch that you don't think President Biden can win in 2024. Is that true?
Well, it's true that I said that. And I did say that behind closed doors. And you guys and others asked whether I had said it. And that is what I said. So I figured I should come here and say it publicly. Donald Trump is on track, I think, to win this election and maybe win it by a landslide and take with him the Senate and the House.
Okay, let's talk about the power dynamics here, Buck, because it's one thing, you know, if we're friends It's one thing if I have an axe to grind with you, which I don't have any axe to grind with you. It's one thing for me to pull you aside, shoot you a text. Hey, Buck, I really have a problem with this. That's no big deal. You and I would work it out. If I go on my radio show tonight, right here on The First Tonight, or do anything publicly and say, that Buck's a piece of crap, well, now we've got a problem. They're coming at him publicly, Buck. So if he stays, how do you put Humpty Dumpty back together again?
I think it's the nature of politics these days that people are so lacking in consistencies and principle that almost no one expects consistency or principle. And this is something you've seen on the Republican side, something you see on the Democrat side. Here's how I see it on the coming at Biden publicly right now. I think they're doing this because they're going on the record now so that later on, if let's say Biden gets smoked against Trump, if he stays in as I think he does, or as I think he will, and he gets absolutely crushed, they can say, see, I told you guys, I said replace him. But what they're not going to say then is what I think is going to happen in about 3 weeks, which is they're going to say, Trump is too much of a threat to democracy. Biden will be a good steward, whether he lasts 6 months or 4 years in office going forward. So, you know, the threat against democracy is too big. Joe Biden has to be the guy for now. So I think that, you know, basically it's like they're calling the big game and they're going on record. I know somebody who does this, going on record publicly saying that both sides will win. And then whoever wins, they say, see, I told you that's what's going to happen. This will all be forgotten. This will all become an absurdity. But the biggest thing for me with all this is, why isn't it just Kamala? Like, George Clooney wrote this letter like, oh, I'm George Clooney. Like, I'm important. He wrote this letter that Joe Biden should step down. And what they do is they open it up to the deep Democrat bench. You have a dementia patient as a president. You have a vice president whose job is to be ready to take over for a dementia patient president. So why aren't they just saying it should be Kamala? The only reason there's this like, what do we do? Is because I think they recognize Dementia Joe has a better shot against Trump than DEI Kamala. And that's the truth. That's what no one's saying out loud, but is obvious from everything that they're saying on the in the media and on the news channels.
She really is the ultimate poison pill that they accidentally chose that's going to end up protecting Joe's nomination if he keeps the nomination. Okay, but there's a conversation you and I had one time in person, although I know you won't mind me sharing this publicly, especially since I already have on the radio before. We were hanging out during the midterms that were supposed to be that red wave, and it didn't turn out to be a red wave. And you and me were licking our wounds, huddling in the corner, and we're talking. And what we came up with was simply this. The country's never as far to the right as you would like or as I would like. We convince ourselves it is, and there's going to be a red wave, and I see how crazy Democrats are, and then that doesn't really materialize. I see a lot of preemptive celebration here on the year of our Lord, 2024, July 10th. I'm not so sure that I see some red wave, because every time I see that, it doesn't come.
I agree. I said this actually earlier today on radio. I don't know how Biden can still win, but I know he can still win. And everyone needs to hear that. If you ask me, explain that process other than just like they cheat, right? But explain that process in a meaningful way. I'm not capable of doing it right now, but I know that it is possible. And I know it's possible because of what we've seen in the past. And that's why there is, I think, a little bit of exuberance, overconfidence on the Republican side in this moment. I think that you're going to see things get tighter. Remember, it only has to get tighter in a few states. As people, it doesn't matter. Trump being up, 15 in North Carolina, it's not that. It's like 8 or 10. But he was always going to win North Carolina. Is he going to maintain the leads that I do believe he currently has, but it doesn't matter yet, in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania? And I think that's the whole thing. I mean, I think the Democrats are just thinking if they run the table in those states and they defend their other territories, which they probably can do even with a quasi person. I don't know how best to describe Joe Biden these days, dementia patient. Then I think they believe they can still win. So it is going to be closer than people realize. And also you're going to have a lot of Democrats who do the distancing thing if they have to, in places that we should just be running the table. They're going to say, oh, well, I'm a I'm not a Biden Democrat. You know, I'm a Pennsylvania Union Democrat, or I'm a, you know, whatever. You get what I'm saying. So yeah, I'm not cheering for this too early. And I would just say, even Joe Biden muttering gibberish when he should have a blanket on his knees, feeding pigeons in the park, is going to get 49% of the vote, everybody. That's the truth. Just mark my, he's going to get 49%. He might get more than that, but you could push him out on the stage election night, drooling on himself and muttering nonsense. 49% of the electorate's going to vote for that clown instead of Donald Trump. Just remember I said it.
That's true. All right, Buck. Well, let's wrap this up here. Why don't we wrap this up and you tell everybody what you're looking most forward to about Milwaukee next week?
Well, I don't think we can call in the bet quite yet. So we're going to have to figure out something where you come down to Florida or whatever, because Jesse has agreed, you know, those plastic bibs, he's going to tie it on for me when I'm eating a delicious lobster feast, probably at a Red Lobster, but I think we can go with any crustacean serving establishment. And this will be because he doubted me and thought that Joe Biden would not be the nominee. But we got to wait until the DNC convention. So next week, you know, we'll sort of see. Maybe you want to just get it over with. I don't know. That's up to you, because clearly I'm going to win this bet. But I am looking forward to Jesse, because he's going to have to bend down so much to put the bib on. I mean, it's like like the Jolly Green Giant trying to tie a bib on a mouse or something. So that's how it's going to be.
You're a bad person. Buck,
yeah, man.
I'll see you in a few days in Milwaukee. Buck Sexton. All right. Lighten the mood. Next.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. Look, have I ever told you that I'm losing my hair? It's breaking news. I'm losing my hair. Maybe you've noticed it's gone. I'm a Kelly. It was always going to be gone. And so, as a man, when your hair's fallen out, you have at least brief conversations with yourself about what you do about it. I've always said I'm just going to kind of buzz it down like this and let it go the way God intended. But believe me, you have a moment where you think to yourself, maybe I should do something. I don't know, they can do stuff. right? They have hair plugs, and I know if you go to Turkey, they'll put you under, and you'll wake up with a full-blown afro, whatever you want. And then there's always, you know, there's the basic wig option. The wig is an option, right? It's an option. And I considered it. Not very long, but I considered it. Let me just say, Maxine Waters went on CNN today, and she officially ended Jesse Kelly's search for a wig.
They've seen President Biden. They've lived through his presidency. They've also seen former President Trump. They've lived through his presidency. They've heard these arguments about democracy, about the fate of the election. And yet, Trump is not only winning, but winning increasingly by a larger margin. So what is the plan among Democrats to change that trajectory? It sounds like you're talking about saying and doing all the same things, but do you believe that something needs to change?
I think we need to keep working.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.